Hello. Well, first off, I'm very honored to be up here. Normally, I come at the very end and do like a real quick two-minute announcement, and probably no one's even listening because y'all are all checked out, thinking about lunch, ready to eat. So this will be different for all of us, but I'm very excited. Like Pastor Chris said, I have some experience I've been going through and something specific to share with y'all, and I'm excited to share that with y'all. So let's pray, and we'll jump right in. Jesus, you say there's a better way, and use this message to show us that and point us back to you and connect the dots to our lives so when we leave here, we'll make a difference and we'll be more like you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I read this book called Seven that really kind of started all these thoughts I'm having. And it's by author Jen Hatmaker, and she feels like there's these seven areas in her life where she personally overconsumes in and just has excess in all of these areas. And so I read her book, The Seven Areas. They'll put them up, are food, clothing, possessions, media, waste, spending, and stress. And so she just feels like she lives in excess in these areas. And the definition of excess is more than or above what is necessary. It's extra and it exceeds reasonable limits. And so what she does in this book is she spends 1 month in each one of those seven areas and only does seven things. For like food, for a month, she only eats seven items of food. Like, you don't have an option, you get these seven items. For a whole month, she wore seven items of clothes. And the whole reason, like, yeah, that's so weird. Like, why does she do that? The whole reason is like she did this intentional reduction to simplify and kind of bring herself back to the heart of Jesus. And like the whole prayer behind this book that she wrote is, Jesus, may there be less of me and my junk and more of you in your kingdom. And so when I was reading this book, I was so motivated. The book is just like a journal of her experience this whole 7 months. And I would talk to Daniel every night, like, no joke, every night. Poor Daniel. He feels like he's read the book 10 times. But I was just so moved. The lessons she learned through this intentional reduction were amazing. And I was like, this is huge. And so I had one chapter left, and I was so motivated. I called some of my friends, and I'm like, y'all want to read this book with me? Like, let's read it. You're going to love it. And let's not just read it, but let's do an experiment like she did. And so we are currently doing the experiment, 7 weeks, not months. We made it a little bit more realistic. I'm on week 5, and I'm going to kind of share with y'all what I've been learning and connect it back to M25 in motion. But I'll let y'all know where I'm going. So the first week is food. I had 7 items of food to eat for a whole week, and they'll put my items up there. And I'm not going to read them. Y'all can read them. So turkey was my main food that I could eat for my meat. And so I went to Walmart, and I was like, okay, I got to get creative. How can I eat turkey for 7 days and not get tired of it? Did y'all know they sell turkey legs at Walmart? It was like Six Flags came to my house, you guys. It was so good. It was so good. Dana was like, why do you have that picture? The girls in the book club, we encouraged each other with our good stuff. So I was happy. So I had this reduction. I ate turkey and eggs and sweet potatoes, and it was just, ugh. Like, when you start to eat the same 7 foods, like, you don't even want to eat them. But did y'all know they have turkey mignon? We bought that. They had turkey, not pork loin. I was so excited. I made it in the crock pot. And I was so eating it. Daniel's like, what is this? I'm like, turkey loin. Haven't you ever heard of it? And he was like, I think they're tricking you. And it was shaped real long and kind of fat like this. And he was like, have you ever seen a turkey that size? I'm like, no. He's like, well, it's probably just like a really big turkey hot dog. They just put all the extra part of the turkey in there. I was like, Daniel, you know this is the only thing I can eat. You need to quit ruining my meal for me. So that was my week of food. I made it. The first day of turkey legs was awesome, but I made it. So the second week was clothes. So I had 7 items of clothes to wear, and not outfits, items, okay? Yes, I did laundry. I know people who knew I was doing this asked me, but yes, I did laundry. I actually wore one of my outfits to kind of show y'all, let y'all in the laugh of me. So here's 4 of my items that I'm wearing right now. I brought the rest to show y'all. But first, I have to dress up for work. I also work out, and I needed something in between to like wear on the weekend. And shoes count for an item, so really I had 6 items of clothes to fit all of those 3 things in. It was hard. So I had a pair of workout shorts. I had 1 pair of dress pants, and then I also had just a white shirt. So I tried to pick things. Oh, and shoes. Shoes were 2-for-1 if you needed like a different outfit. Like I can't work out in these, so I got these. But anyways, so I wore these outfits. And no one even noticed that I was re-wearing the same stuff. My friends are blunt. They would have told me. I asked them later. I was like, did y'all notice? No. However, Tina, she goes to church here. I went to work out with her one day at the gym, and she's like, I had on this shirt with my Nike shorts. And she's like, you look like a hobo today. I was like, I'm not even going to try to explain this weird experiment. I just went with it. So anyways, I didn't have jewelry. Shelly said, oh, that would have been the first thing on her list was jewelry. I didn't wear nail polish. I didn't have pajama pants. I just wore my Nike shorts. And I didn't have a jacket, like stuff you don't really think about. But it was cold a couple weeks ago. I know it's not cold now, but it was cold. And so just kind of that was what my clothing week was like. Those were some of the things I didn't have. Going through this, I didn't just like reduce, but through each week, I would kind of see what I had in each area. Like, okay, I'm only going to wear 7 clothes. But did y'all know I went and counted, and I had 460 items of clothing in my closet. And you would never guess that because I really do wear the same clothes all the time. But it was just kind of crazy. And the same lessons I was reading about in the book, I began to notice in my own life. Like, I knew I had a lot of shirts and stuff. I didn't know I had 460 items. And so I had so much stuff, and a lot of it was nice stuff. And I had more than I need, and I had excess and overabundance. And going back to the definition, I had more than what was necessary. And so through this intentional reduction I started doing, I began to gain a new awareness of just how much stuff I had. And I realized my slightly reduced life was still extraordinary in every way. Because here's the deal. Even though I was cold that week, I knew next week I could go home and choose one of my 20 jackets to wear, and I'd be warm. And that week when I was cold, I would get in one of my 2 cars and turn the seat warmer on, or turn the heater on. And at night when I would get home and it was cold, I would run from my car to my warm, cozy house. And I had a fully stocked kitchen. I had a freezer full, a fridge full, a deep freeze full, a pantry, all fully stocked. And if I don't want to eat that, I go out to eat. And I started to begin to realize just how much I have, and that I live in privilege, and I don't even realize it because I casually enjoy all these things. And so sometimes it's easy to feel like we don't have a lot because many people around us have more stuff than we do. And I want to tell you, me and Daniel, we drive our dream car, which is really funny. It's a 2003, so it's 16 years old. It's a 4Runner, 180,000 miles. And we are like, we love that car so much. It's so funny. But everyone around us has a nicer, newer car. Everyone has a nicer house, land, a boat. And we're like, we want all that stuff too. And it's easy to feel like we're in the middle of the pack because we're always looking up. No matter what, we'll always know people who have way more than we do. But we got to keep it in perspective and realize there's people who have way less than we do. And so this brought me to my 3rd week, which was possessions. And that week was you give away 7 things a day. And we're actually really simple people. I know by my items of clothes you wouldn't think that, but we are. So I was like, we really don't have that much extra stuff, but in my clothing, I do. And so I decided I'm going to clean out my closet. And so I started with that. Sorry. Dang it, I missed my mouth. Daniel says I always get everything wet. Now y'all know why. I'm not good. Even at home. How am I do that? I didn't even get a drink. Okay. Okay, so really, why do I need 460 items of clothes? Like I said, I'm a creature of habit. I wear the same stuff over and over. This stuff just hangs in my closet. I had so much, I actually couldn't even like move my clothes to see what they were. There was a whole side, I had two sides in my closet. A whole side I would never even wear because the clothes were in there so tight, I couldn't move them to see what they were. So I'd never even wear those. So for this possession week, I was going to give stuff away. And the thing was, not just give it to Goodwill and stick it on the back door, but like get connected to real needs in the community and find out who needs help and connect my stuff with their needs. So here's some things I realized when I got on the internet and started researching, then I got on the phone and started calling. Here's some things I realized in Longview in the area needs that there were. So there is Rahab House in Kilgore, and they help women and kids involved in sex trafficking. Hannah House in Longview helps young girls with unplanned pregnancies, helps them through that next step and getting back on their feet. Legacy Closet is a place here in Longview. A lady helps out with kids in foster care. And if you're not familiar with that, if you're a foster parent, you get a call and within like maybe 2 hours, you get a kid at your house. It could be a baby, a child, a teenager. You don't really just have all that stuff lying around your house. So Legacy Closet is just like a closet. And whatever you need when the foster kid is placed in your home, you're able to get for free. And then House of Disciples helps homeless men and men who are struggling with addictions to get back on their feet again. And the list goes on and on and on. And when I started to call, I felt good. I was like, I have stuff that I'm going to connect with people. I'm going to give it away. And then before I was done calling, I was so overwhelmed. There were so many needs right here in the community. And I was like, how are we going to help meet all these needs? So like Daniel said earlier, one of Motion's goals is to be so generous and involved in the community that if Motion Church had to shut its doors, there would be a negative effect on the community. And this brings us to M25. That's how we make these goals come to life. So the goal of M25 is to be generous and effective with our resources and to be involved in the community. And like Daniel read earlier from Matthew 25, 35 through 36. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Verse 40. I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So let's break down this goal of M25. The first one is generous with our resources. And as I began to realize, man, I have a lot of resources, a lot, more than I need. And the definition of generous, first off, this is something Pastor Chris wants Motion Church to be known for, honor and generosity. And generosity means liberal in giving or sharing. It's unselfish. And being generous means there's a readiness to give more than what's necessary or expected. And so our resources are huge. Our possessions, our time, our money, we have so much and overabundance. And I heard this quote. It said, the poor don't lack ambition, imagination, or intelligence. Most simply, they lack resources. And we have what they require, and we have more than we need. So let's share. And may we give life to community in generosity and kindness and love. The next part of it is involved in the community. And there is an author and Christian activist, Shane Claiborne, and he wrote this quote. He said, I had come to see that the great tragedy in the church is not that rich Christians don't care about the poor, but that rich Christians, they don't know the poor. And so we don't want that to be said about us. We want to get outside of these four walls, and we want to be the church. Everything that we learn here on a Sunday morning, this hope, this light that we have, let's go out and share it with people who don't know it. So there are so many organizations right here in Longview who are doing good, and let's jump alongside with them and help them and help write better stories for those people. Some recent involvement that we had with M25 was we gave away about 60 pairs of shoes for Kicks for Kids. Y'all generously gave that money to buy the shoes. And then a few people in the church actually went and met the kids and hand-delivered. Something new we started, like the video, we go to the men's shelter once a month, and we serve a meal to the homeless. And not just that, but when we're done serving, we get out of the kitchen and we go meet the guys and we hear their stories. And then there's this thing called Project Cinderella in Tyler, and they put on a prom for teenagers in foster care. And a few girls in the church dug in the back of their closet and got prom dresses that they're never even going to wear again and gave to these girls and made their night special and made them something, remember something that they won't forget. And that, those are some of the workers that we met. And the thing is, like, when you start to meet these people, you can't help but fall in love, and you can't help but want to go back and reconnect and give more. And so Kristen Burney, not to be confused with Kristen Boney, actually, I used to get her emails from HR. I didn't know her at the time, but I would always get her emails, and when I finally met her at church, I'm like, did you used to work at Good Shepherd? She's like, yeah. I'm like, I used to always get your emails. They, like, thought we were the same person. So we are not the same person. She has dark hair. I don't. But she leads M25. And the whole goal, like, just a quick, easy way to remember it besides that long goal, motion in motion. Like, we are being what we are here outside of these walls. And she organizes and leads and calls and finds direct needs in the community, and she connects us to them. And so this month we're actually going to have a clothing drive. Big shocker, because I have 460 items. But I know I'm not alone. I know y'all probably have so much stuff. Maybe it's not clothes. Maybe it's shoes or extra dishes or bedding. I don't know what you might have, but before you, like, judge me for having 460 clothes, maybe go count your own or something. Because, like, we all have nice stuff, and we always get new stuff. Yes. And when we get new stuff, we shove the old stuff in the back of the closet, which is fine until you realize, like, hey, someone could seriously use this. Yes. And so we're starting a clothing drive, and our stuff is benefiting some of those organizations I just told you about. If you bring children, baby, or teenage items or clothing, that goes to Legacy Closet to help the foster kids. House of Disciples, these men are in need of pants and shoes. And then we're giving the rest of the stuff to Gifts of Grace, which benefits House of Disciples. And so anything that you bring is going to seriously help write a better story for these people and help make a difference. So that starts tomorrow. The doors will be open 6 to 7 if you want to come drop some of your stuff off. But we're going to, for the next few weeks, we're going to have this clothing and item drive. So figure out how you can be a part of that, because Jesus, he was always feeding the hungry and clothing the poor and bringing hope and loving the unloved, and we should too. I'm going to try my drink again. Did it. All right. I'm going to tell you a story talking about Jesus. He was about 30 years old at this passage. He had just been baptized. He had been a carpenter most of his working adult life, and he kind of retired from that, which I wish I could retire at 30. I'm 30. That would be awesome. I want to be more like Jesus. But for the next 3 years before he was crucified, he began to, like, walk around the Middle East, which is known as Israel today, and he would teach these messages saying, like, there's a better way to live. Follow me. And at this verse I'm about to read, it was like one of the very first times he had ever stood up to speak. And he begins to talk to this crowd, and he's on this hill, and there's a city you can see over the hill. And in the first few minutes that he speaks, in Matthew 5:14, he says, "You are the light of the world." And in John 8, he says, "I'm the light of the world." But here, he's saying, "You are the light of the world." Kind of like that city that you see over there and it can't be hidden. That's what you're like. And so this "you" in this specific passage is plural. So it's not saying like Taylor on the fifth row, although that's not bad. That's just not what he's saying. He's saying more like y'all. Yeah. Y'all are the light of the world. And the light right here is singular. So he's saying, you all are the one light of the whole world. Y'all make up this one light of the whole world. And it's kind of like a city. Like New York City, for instance. There's a whole bunch of different pieces that make that up. But when you see it, you see New York City. And so, for instance, I can clean out my closet and feel good about it and make a difference as an individual. But if we collectively do that, think of what we could do. Like if all of us go home and find something we can give, maybe we could clothe 100 people. Or maybe we could furnish someone's bedroom. Or maybe even better yet, we can furnish someone's entire house. Because when you, all 100-ish of us, shine our one light, it gets beautiful really fast. And so this light that we have is hope. And this light is generosity and kindness and compassion. This light is love. So as I'm closing, Chelly's going to come up and play. But I just want to close with one more story. You see, to shine, we need to be into the same things Jesus was into. And we need to go to the same places he would go. You know, Jesus was asked several times, like, "Why are you with that crowd?" And he was always found with, like, beggars or people who other people would consider were, like, out and not socially accepted. And so there's a story in Mark 10:46-52. And this is 3 years later from the story I just told about you are the light of the world. And Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem to be crowned king, which him and the disciples knew he was going to get crucified, but the crowds, they didn't quite know king meant crucified yet. They're kind of clueless. But anyways, he's in Jericho, and he's making his way, and the disciples are with him, and there's a crowd of people with him, and I just imagine it's like a parade. Like, our king is here. He's coming, and we're going to be saved. And they're making their way to crown him king. And there's this guy named Bartimaeus, and he's a beggar, and he's just sitting on the side of the road begging. And he's a beggar because he's blind. And back in those days, if you were blind, it meant that you were cursed by God. And because of that, he was an outcast. And he wasn't accepted. He just didn't have any hope. So the crowd is making their way with Jesus. And Bartimaeus, he hears that it's Jesus. So he cries out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And the people that are with Christ, they rebuke him. And I imagine they're like, "Don't you know who he is? And don't you know who you are?" And they probably pushed him away. "Not now, we're about crowning our king." But he doesn't stop. He cries out again and he says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And so Jesus heard him, and he stopped, and he called him, and he asked him what he needed. And he said, "Rabbi, I want to see." And so Jesus, he healed him. And you know what? Bartimaeus got up and he started following Jesus. And 9 verses earlier, James and John, those were Jesus' disciples. And they kind of been with Jesus these whole 3 years. And they understood what was about to happen. And so they said, Jesus, may we sit at your right and your left hand of the throne. And not only that, they asked for whatever they wanted, that Jesus would do it for them. And I don't know if that was wrong or not, but I just think about them in that story. And then I think about Bartimaeus, who is begging for one basic human need. And I think about me. And I have so much. And I have an overabundance in all these different areas of my life. While the world sits begging on the side of the road to be heard. Begging for hope and begging for a better life. And so may we be more like Jesus. May we stop and become aware, and may we meet these needs. May we be not consumed with the me mentality anymore, but may we be aware of what others need, and may we do our part to help people see and to point them back to Jesus. And may we be right in the middle of the crowds that Jesus was, and the outcasts and the forgotten and the poor and the sick. And the addicted, may we help write a better story for them. Because we have what they need. We have this light and this hope. And they are sitting begging to be heard. So may we be more like Jesus. May we help write better stories for these people. Let's pray. Jesus, may we live and be more like you. And as we leave this place, may we start to become aware of just how much we have and how much we have to offer and how much other people need. Help us to be responsible with our resources and to get involved with the community and to hear the cries of the hurting and the lost and the forgotten. Help us, God, to be the one light that you have called us to be, to bring hope, to bring love, to help people in need. And God, we love you and we truly want to be like you. Help us to live that out.